Clear Nephi chapter 26 tells us in the beginning of this chapter that Jesus then tells them all history, both past and future. And then it says in verses 6 through 8 that not even a hundredth part of what he told them could be put in the Book of Mormon. And then in verse 9, it says why. It says to try their faith, or to try our faith, those who accept the Book of Mormon. The point is that the Book of Mormon is given to us as a starting point, and we're to read everything in it and apply everything in it and to make it our handbook. If we will use that, then we can be given more, and that's what it says there. And then the problem with man is he always wants to look beyond the mark, and he never wants to look down. He always wants to look up. He never wants to look immediate. He always wants to look past, and that's the problem. We just don't want to get into the Book of Mormon and see what its simple truths are and apply them to our lives. Instead, we keep looking for the grand and glorious things like man always does in his pride. But nonetheless, it says here, if we will sincerely take the Book of Mormon into our heart, then the other things will be manifest to us. And this means clearly that we need to, that if we will study the Book of Mormon with the Spirit, then greater things can be manifest. But it does say also in verse 10, and this is the verse that is most used by President Benson and has been used by the prophets back to Joseph Smith, to say that the people are under condemnation. And that is that if you will not believe the things in the Book of Mormon, and that's all the things, remember this is only a beginning, if you cannot believe all the things in the Book of Mormon, then you are under the condemnation of God. And we've given this commentary to make it, to give some idea of the what is contained in the Book of Mormon, and if you cannot receive it again, then you are under the condemnation of God. And it says here that Mormon felt like he wanted to record a little bit more, but again the Spirit came to him and constrained him clearly, and the Lord said that he would try the faith of his people. And that's in verse 11. He wants to make that clear. We're in this life to develop our faith in him. So we're only to be given these things here, and then we're to apply them, and then we can move on with more things. But I testify to you, as I've studied the Book of Mormon, that if you will study it with the eye of the Spirit, that that it will be enlightened to you, and greater things will be manifest to you. Indeed, that is the purpose of this commentary. Well, then says in verses 12 through 18 that Jesus taught them for 3 days. And it said that there was angels and the spirits of the dead to converse, and spirits talk through others and even children, and it was marvelous. And the point of all this is that this is what we can therefore expect in the city of Zion. When we do accept the Lord, this is what it's like. And that's if you remember, he said that it was important that the prophecy of Samuel the Lamanite, including things like this, was included in the Book of Mormon, because it said, be a sign to us that if you are living by the Lord, if you are living by his Spirit, and you do form Zion, this is what you'll expect. And what is it talking about here? It's talking about the greater things that are going to be manifest to you if you do everything that's in the Book of Mormon and live that and create Zion by it. Then the greater things will be manifest through the through these spirits and through the Lord himself and so forth. Well, then says that the Savior leaves. And in verse 19 it says the people are minister one to another. And a sign of the of how the people are administering to one another and taking care of each other is that they had all things common among them. And it's the sad that amongst man, that man immediately says, yes, this is communism, and we need to start administrating that. So everybody bring your goods into us, and we'll put it all under one head, and the leader of the church will administer it. And this is their form of Zion, because again, man is totally focused on the administration of man and the organizing according to Babylon and man. All this is saying here is that in a righteous society, when we have love for one another, that this becomes just a natural order. It's just a sign of a people who love each other. And if they see someone in need, then they give them what they need. And if they see a man who that is lacking something or just wants something, that if they have it, they would like to share that with him to express their love. And then when we truly love everybody in our community, as we love our family, then we're getting back to understanding what Elijah restored. If we have a family order and our community becomes a complete family, we're obviously sharing and doing whatever we can for the love of each other. And in essence, it's just like being, a family. Even though we could say the father owns the big farm and all the equipment, doesn't a family really have it all in common and use it in common? Well, these are the natural extensions of a community that truly loves each other, and it's not something to be controlled and forced and administrated. It's just a natural extension of it. And it's a natural extension, too, of it says in this verse, every man dealing justly one with another. When we deal justly and honestly, meaning we're making sure that in all our dealings that we would never take another person. When you deal justly, what does it mean? It means you're not sitting there trying to figure out how you get the best deal. You're trying to figure out how you make sure that you don't take the other person. This is the feeling in a love community and in an honest community. And we've not even seen that experienced at all in our lives. We've not seen anyone who cares to feel that way. That's not how we're taught by Babylon, and that's why the Lord has told us to get out of Babylon. And so then it just says that those who are baptized then formed a church and were called the Church of Christ. Now notice again, verse 20, and they who were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. Again, I'd like to point out here that the church is not an administrative organization. It is not something that is created after Babylon and man, and then we call that a church or an entity. A church is simply the true followers of Christ, or those who have been baptized and took a covenant to follow Christ. It is them. It doesn't even have to be physical. It doesn't have to have a building. It doesn't have to have a leader. It is just them. And he continued to try and make that clear in Scripture. It's the people that make up the church. And you've heard these kind of things, but we don't want to truly believe them. That's what's important, and that's all there is the people. We don't uphold leaders, and we don't have these administrations that tell everybody what to do and so forth. This is of man. This is man desiring to control things. When we're all true followers of Christ, the Lord will tell us what to do, and the taking care of each other and so forth will be a natural consequence of true followers of Christ.